You're listening to Wake Up Tucson. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Look, Ozzy's been telling you for years, decades, forget how to hate. That's what I've been trying to tell people for years. So good morning. Welcome back to the Wake Up Tucson show. Callahan, it looks pretty wasted right now. But he'll get there. How much coffee have you drank so far?
I'm only on like 3/4 of a cup. Ugh. I'm struggling.
Well, it might be the Bills cap.
And that's the smooth dulcet tones of Mr. Matt Neely. Hello, sir.
Good morning.
Velvety.
Velvety tones.
Velvety dulcet tones.
The Velvet Prog. Yeah.
Great. That's not bad.
Thank you.
The Velvet Prog. Very, very good. I like that.
Yeah.
That's not bad. He's got his beautiful shirt on today. Did you show Tom Callahan your shirt?
I did, Tom.
When I saw him coming in with that shirt, I laughed. I love it. I want one.
So is this says Grant and Alvernon.
Grant and Alvernon, baby. You've got one, I know, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I think the Tucson foodie guys were selling
Adam
this.
Adam Lehrman, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, how is this not?
No.
Right?
At the airport.
Right.
In hotel gift shops, you know.
Right.
At the airport.
Right.
In hotel. Tell gift shops, you know, it's you know, they always talk about elegant simplicity and elegance, you know, or elegance and simplicity. It's
sure.
Just, it's minimalist, says volumes.
So it's interesting. So it's a black shirt that simply just says in white lettering.
Plain font. Yeah. Just
forgive me, equity officer. White lettering. It says Grant and Alvernon.
That's it.
So my brother Joe had a shirt in that same color.
It has an ampersand instead of and. Just to paint the words I view, as Chick Hearn used to say.
For the TUSD grads out there, what's an ampersand?
It's an and sign. It's not the number sign that they use all the time.
I'm sorry. Okay, I'm good now. So my brother I'm getting there. Thank you. I haven't even had my first sip of Filthy Pirate. Let me do it now and there.
Oh,
liquid ambrosia. That's what we
good
call
stuff,
it.
Good stuff, baby.
My brother had a shirt that was black with white lettering. When we went to, this is a possibility for Callahan for shared experience because he's an East Coast kid. We went to Hershey Park for vacation.
Yeah.
So, again, this is the one where my parents had some friends, and they came over for a barbecue one day, and they're like, oh, you got to go do the Amish country and Hershey Park and all that crap. So we did.
This is where the light standards or the Hershey's Kisses or something.
Yeah. The best part that I remember was just the smell that they pumped through on the factory, thinking, how does that not work for? I survived. Grant. So I'm thinking... How does that not work for I survived Grant and Alvernon?
It could work. Adam, roll the presses, Mr. Lehrman.
And of course, we have a new hockey team in the Acres, which is great.
Right. The Pliskin Porch Pirates.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, I like it.
Pliskin Porch.
And Coach Callahan over here is, I like
Excuse me. GM-coach-play-by-play.
Yes.
That's the best part. So when we have him at the Ed Alexander War Memorial, I was talking to Ed a couple of days ago. He heard the part about the thing, but he didn't hear that we named it the War Memorial after him, right? Right. He laughed his head off when we said that. Tom is going to have headphones with a mic while he's behind the... he's going to look like Jacques Demers
coaching.
While coaching from behind the bench.
So now if you're coaching...
While coaching... From behind the bench.
So now if you're coaching, you know, you kind of have to be on a 7-second delay if you're actually coaching and calling the game.
I'd also like to announce as the general manager, coach, and play-by-play, I am the first signing of the team. I will be one of the goaltenders, so I'm having a special mask built with the special headphones in it with a 7-second delay. So
uplink,
I'm going to coach from the
uplink technology. Yes. I like it. Yes.
So you're going to use your triple position within the team to help you live the dream, which is to be a hockey goalie.
I'm going
to
quadruple dip.
Oh,
yes.
My Lord.
It's a quadruple threat.
I learned very quickly once I got into the Acres, my office there.
Right.
Yeah, no, I figured out how this is all going to work.
Well, what happens is when you work in the Acres, you actually have to wear the mask all the time just to protect your face. So you never know when someone's going to punch you in the face, spit on you. I mean, it's a tough hood.
So here's what we got to figure out. If we're in Pliskin Acres, what's the Zamboni, right? Because you could have a great Zamboni in Pliskin Acres. It could be some, you know.
It's got to look like something out of Thunderdome.
It does, you know, maybe a Pinto or something with a bad exhaust.
No, I think Callahan's on the right thing.
A large motorized shopping cart. Not like a large motorized shopping cart. Like a large motorized shopping cart.
Well, I see. That's Zamboni. Not bad either. There was a guy on Flowing Wells today. It was so great today. It was classic. He had the shopping cart that he stole from someplace, right? And it had so much stuff piled on it. So from the top of the basket, okay, he was probably clearing 7 feet of product up top, okay? And it was just beautifully wrapped, right? Like a Martha Stewart gift wrap job on it.
Well, right? You know, yeah.
He is in the right lane.
Pride right? of ownership.
Just blocking anyone who's in the right lane going north, and they're all whizzing around him. It was beautiful. Just beautiful.
And he probably looks down on people that, you know, don't display pride of ownership with their stuff. So
now, real quick, now we have Dan Shearer at the bottom in Bulls. He texted me this morning. We're going to talk about bees and bulls as part of what was on the Green Valley News. So bees
and bulls?
It sounds like a bad game show. Your category is bees and bulls. I also want to thank listener Fred, who went to the last week. He went to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
I believe they were there for the draft. I think.
Originally,
his son was actually recognized by the Cowboys as a.
Oh, was he the super fan guy?
Yeah, right.
Okay.
Yeah, and that's why they were there, I believe.
So he took a picture. Couple of pictures that he posted on my Facebook page. Number one was a Rick Wakeman keyboard case from Yes, and of course his own solo career. But more importantly, what color was that outfit? The Ian Anderson outfit was kind of purplish magenta.
Yeah, I believe it was chest hair colored.
It was
complimented.
Listener Martin wants us to use a SWAT Ram tank for our Zamboni, for the Pliskin Porch Pirates. Well, actually, it's a variety. I'm looking at the Ian Anderson outfit right now. It's got black shoulder pads, black ends of the sleeves, but it's a variety of white, magenta, and purple. And then, of course, next to that is one of his flutes. So there we go. So, Fred, thank you for sharing that, keeping the Tull dream alive. And then, Matt, you had a very funny line. As usual, you want to know if it was in the treasure or trash wing.
Right.
So obviously trash wing. So 6:15 in the morning, Christy, Simone, Matthew Neely, and yourself. Remember, Friday, tomorrow's Hig Dog for 3 hours. That'll be hilarious. And then Friday is the Sean McCluskey bachelor party show. Sean gets married to his beloved Ashley. The only thing he knows that's going on that I'm announcing is, and I put it out today, and you can email me this. Don't call me on this right now. We'll do calls on Friday. I'm making a list of the best movies centered around a wedding. Van Buren's not going to be able to do it, so I'm going to do it during the 7 o'clock hour. So there's going to be some surprise guests and everything
nice.
On Friday for Sean's bachelor party.
All right, Captain Chaos.
Yeah, nice. A guy named Captain Chaos needs to have a bachelor party is what I think. So,
dun.
I just want to tell you, the Captain Chaos, for some of you, I don't know, maybe it's just you didn't see it or whatever. It's from Cannonball Run, right? Dom DeLuise.
Him. Not him. Yes, him. Oh, no.
It's about a cross-country race, of course, and auto race. And what happens is he has this alter ego called Captain Chaos that's some sort of, quote, bad superhero who has a different personality than Dom DeLuise. So.
And a cape.
and a cape and one of those Lucha Libre masks and a wig.
Yes, sir.
So my brother and I, when you had HBO in the 80s, right, they only had so many films, so they repeat them over and over, right? One, of course, was Flash Gordon with Sam J. Jones, Melanie Anderson, and Max von Sydow. And the other one that they just murdered us was that one, was Cannonball Run. So that's one of those movies that if you watch it, him and I can give you the line before it shows up.
That's a good thing.
Right, when Roger Moore says, "That wasn't a very sporting way to win." And then Dean Martin says, "Sporting way to win? That was a blank way to win." Wake up, Tucson. 10:30 The Voice. Local news and talk. Local news and talk. All right, that's our hockey organist for the Porch Pirates. Her name is Mildred McGillicuddy, and she lives over on Country Club and Pima area. And she has we hired her to be our hockey organist. That's her doing Crazy Train, part of her demo reel to become the official organist of the Porch Pirates.
Well, you had Helen Dell at Dodger Stadium. We can have Mildred McGillicuddy. Is that what you said?
Mildred McGillicuddy.
I like it. Go Mildred. Rock on.
She says she loves living in the Acres. She has a couch that's made of Kevlar. And she hasn't had sidewalks in front of her house in 47 years.
Amazing.
They used to be there, but now they're no longer there. This is not one of those things that Tucson did it without. They were there 47 years ago, but what they've done is they've actually crumbled into her street.
And yeah, pothole fill.
Yeah, so
nice.
It's good living. Kevin, a listener, Kevin, he has his vote is for the motorized shopping cart to be our Zamboni. So
see, it's taken. The idea is taking shape.
And that's probably right. The preferred method of transportation, right, in the Acres is the shopping cart.
Sure.
You know, now is that sustainable for Rahina? I guess it is, right? Doesn't use any fossil fuels, right? Mm-hmm. Are we going back to rickshaws before it's all over? Well,
the Luddites, the neo-Luddites that are taking over the world, that could happen.
Could we have the unvaccinated rickshaw the vaccinated?
Well, there you go. Sounds a little caste-y to me, but whatever. Not judging, but just sounds a little caste-ish. But and some of the shopping carts have the little proximity things that put the brakes on as they get away. I don't know. We could work that into the whole picture. And ankle bracelets, and I don't know.
There's no ankle bracelets in the Acres. So you sent me this. I saw it this morning. You would like to know when will the real Dr. Fauci stand up?
This last weekend, he was on all the news shows saying, I can't do a Fauci impersonation, but I can barely do a Matt Neely impersonation. But anyway, but Fauci was on all the news shows saying, we may have to start wearing masks again this flu season, the masks are not going away.
And then
yesterday I read some quote. He says, we're going to start our return back to normal very soon. Very nondescript, by the way. It's like the Puxatawny Phil thing where spring is just around the corner. Well, there's no.
We're going to return.
There you go.
We're going to return to normalcy very soon. Let's see. That all of us desire so much. Now,
48 hours after he says, we're going to still have to have masks this flu season, so don't get too comfortable around Christmas time.
So maybe what's possibly happening, right, is that even Dr. Idiot here, Dr. Doom, is he's seeing some of the numbers that are coming back in relation to everything crashing. And even he's like, I can't be Dr. Doom for much longer. Maybe.
Well, and it's no different than last year with the back and forth. This whole whipsaw thing, masks are bad, wear a mask, it's no different than the whipsaw we've had for the last 14 months.
Ron DeSantis, right guy at the right time. Dr. Fauci, wrong guy at the wrong time. Mm-hmm. That's the disparity between those two. One is actually shown to be the leader, and the other one has been seen as a narcissist psycho. That's my take on Dr. Fauci. Let me hold back. Let me rephrase.
A little bit of this.
Yeah, but he's if you're not on the watching this on camera, which you can anyway, Matt just licked his finger and put it up to the wind just to see which way it's going. That's what I call health, real health leadership, as we like to say. So let's go to Rich. Rich wants to talk about the new organist for the Porch Pirates. Rich, what's up, buddy?
Hey, guy. I just opened a new section of Broadway. It's nice. It's like east of Campbell. Anyways.
Nice.
You're going to love it. Nancy Faust, F-A-U-S-T. She's retired, but she was with the Chicago White Sox back, even when Harry Carey was with us, White Sox.
So her
you look up at 1979, 1980 YouTube, Harry Carey, she's playing.
There you go. So what's her name again?
Nancy Faust.
Nancy Faust?
F-A-U-S-T Faust. She's probably retired. I'll look it up and link you. But my name is Rowdy Rich. I'm at Pima and Alvernon. Remember Grant and Alvernon?
Sure. Oh, thank
Come on down.
So I will do this. We'll find some Nancy Faust, and maybe she retired somewhere in Arizona. We can bring her over, and
who knows?
We can do it. She's you know, maybe she's playing Pinochle in the afternoon, and then she can come up, come down to the Acres, and play some organ music. I'm there. So
you're south side of Chicago.
All right. Thanks for the suggestion, Rich. I appreciate that.
Hey, I like listening to you guys.
Well, we like that you are listening. Thank you, my friend.
Thanks, Rich.
Have a good night. 790-2040 is the phone number. Before the over, Matt has a nice piece out of the Wall Street Journal. I know some of the Democrats listening just puked. Sorry, real newspaper. talking about with the Spanish flu in the 50s, right?
Yeah, 1957 and 58.
And the differences on how we handle that.
Big difference.
So we're going to do that. What do you got to kick the Arizona Daily Star in the head today? That's what I always love about bringing you here today. What do you got? You got anything? They've been killing it over there, right?
Their opinion writer reviewed a. No, I'm not even going to go. No, I got nothing for the Star today.
Well, we're going to talk about. I do want you to bring up how they misspell things on the paper.
Okay,
I think that was that. You?
Maybe I don't.
It's usually you who brings me stuff like that. Within the last week, there's literally. Spelling mistakes in the like in headlines and stuff, or like little sub headlines. All right, I'll find it before it's all over.
Okay.
All right. It must be someone else who can't stand the Star as much as you. So we have Matt Neely, Christy Simone, Tommy Callahan, who's getting there. It's getting there. Real slow.
You think I'm on the struggle bus? This computer is sitting way at the back of it.
Is it working?
Sort of.
So that's why you're playing the YTs instead of the
Yeah.
Gotcha. All right, let's do it. It's Billy Squire's birthday today.
This video ruined his career, and I'll tell you off air what they nicknamed it.
Wow. Wake up, Tucson, 10:30. The Voice. Very, very risque. Very risque. Wake up, Tucson, 10:30. The Voice. Dan Shearer, Green Valley News, coming up. All right, welcome back to the Wake Up Tucson show. We're going to cruise down I-19 in our golf cart. It's going to take us about 7 hours, but we're going to get there. Our good friend Dan Shearer is here from the Green Valley News. Dan, good morning, sir.
Good morning. What 7 hours? You have all the time in the world down here.
You know, that's just time for good conversation.
It's just, it's just laid back here. Just nothing going on. Not true.
Before we get to bulls and bees, because I think that's amazing. this is the greatest and great local reporting. Okay, because you're one of the few people in this city that this area that we can talk normally and hopefully objectively about reporting. Matthew Neely brought up something where it's going on at the White House with reporters. So let's go to Matt Neely at the reporter desk.
Well, there's an article in Politico and a couple of other outlets that reporters are upset about the White House's, quote, approval rules. They say in practice, that means the information from an interview can only be used in the story, can be used in the story, but in order for the person's name to be attached to a quote, the reporter must transcribe the quotes they want and then send them to the communications team to approve, veto, or edit them. They said it was used extensively in the, tightly controlled Obama White House. They said Trump used it too, but less frequently than Biden's team. And they said Biden's team also used the tactic during the campaign, and the reporters are not very happy about this.
No, I can't even imagine if it's as you described that any reporter would go for it. Because and here's the reason is it can open you up to some legal issues. And here's why. If I hear A and I write down A and I show you A and you go, no, really, it's B. No, I got it as A, and I know I'm right, so I'm going to go with A, and you don't like what ends up in the paper, you can come back and say, look, not only is it wrong, but we told him it was wrong. And so what happens is that when people see their quotes, they often say, yeah, I said that, but what I really meant or what I'd really like you to change is this or that. And so you end up with these quotes that aren't real. And so I cannot imagine that reporters would stand for that. And so if that's going on, I had not heard about this, and that's it's wrong. We've had people who have insisted on that before. We tell them, stuff it. We're just simply not going to do it because they want to control the story. We have people who insist on seeing the story. If you show someone a story before it is published, do every journalist a favor and get out of the business, because it simply is wrong. It's taboo. You just do not allow it to happen ever. So there have been times when I've run a couple of paragraphs by somebody. If it's a very technical issue, I once was writing about nuclear energy, and I said, look, am I describing this, you know, breakdown correctly, a paragraph or two? That's not, there's no issue with that. Quotes and stuff, completely different ball game. People have to own their words, and a lot of times after they see them in print, they don't like them, but they did say them.
Well, the article, and I'll forward it to you so you can see it. The article also gave a lot of inside baseball about some, how, I mean, first of all, the person that wrote it, talked about how negotiations sometimes work on stories. And they admitted, right, that they have played ball in this arena with these kinds of rules. And they say sometimes there's reasons that they do it. But they also kind of talked about negotiations for how can we move some of this onto the record. So there's a lot of inside baseball in the article to kind of see how the machine works.
But that's a little different than what you described as far as, you know, kind of approving quotes to go in there. I talked to two agencies yesterday, and there is, during the course of the conversation and on the record and off the record, and sometimes it's just understood because I deal with them a lot, and other times it is stated, you know, I'm going to use this, I'm not going to use that, but sure. Never would I take the quote and send it back to them and say, gosh, is this okay? That's different. So a lot of times it helps us to understand some background that's going on that's going to lead to a decision or has led to a decision that just there's no reason for it to get into print. And frankly, it could be damaging. It's not necessarily telling. But yeah, that goes on. But that's just a discussion of how what we're going to release. And so there's a little bit of a difference there. But if you're talking about signing off on quotes, that's not the way it should be done.
What I find really cute about the story, and I also want to strengthen this with the dean of the journalism school at the U of A was on a few years ago, and they talked about how whatever organization of journalists or whatever he belongs to said that the Obama administration was the most hostile towards reporters of the previous like 50 years. Okay.
Yeah.
And so what's amazing is, so while it's the presidents and the administrations that they're politically aligned to, right? So it's cute that they complain to the Politico guy in this story that, oh, this is bad, right? Mm-hmm. But it's not like you're seeing them in the front page of the Washington Post, New York Times, or the talking heads on MSNBC or CNN going, well, this is kind of an outrage, right?
Yeah, exactly.
We can't, so... You know.
Exactly. So, and when we get talking about these bees and bulls story, I'm going to share with you a quote that could have been on the record or off the record, but the person I was speaking to didn't make it clear. It didn't make it to the story because it just didn't mean anything, but I'll share it. I have no problem with it. It's probably something she would rather not get out there, but never told me not to. So we'll get to that here in a few minutes. So that happens too, but you know what? You're talking to a journalist. You should just expect that everything could end up in print, unless you're very specific in that you've had some discussions beforehand about what's on and off the record. It's just the way it is.
And compare and contrast this with the Trump administration. Donald Trump would go out there And he would just take the barrage of questions and let her rip. You know, he would answer questions and it would all be on the record and it would all be in the room in front of everybody. And he would, he'd face that daily. And of course they'd rip him up and that's fine.
Remember, these are the same people that are doing stories based totally on 100% anonymous sources also during the Trump administration.
Well, but sometimes that is also acceptable. It's not necessarily anonymous. A lot of what you would, it's certainly obviously known to the reporter, but there are certain people who can give you quotes, and as it says in the paper, they're not approved to give you quotes, but they're willing to, and they just don't want their name attached to it. These are trustworthy people. They know what's going on, and they're usually identified to the point where, you have to make a judgment call whether you are going to trust them or not, but that goes on all the time, and sometimes there's no other way to get the information. So allowing anonymous sources, it's rarely done at good news organizations.
Ooh, but you stick they're to doing the rules, they're doing a lot of it, my friend.
Of this, and it's worth a discussion. And there's different levels of this, and it's worth a discussion. And you and I are going to have that discussion because you said every quarter we need to go and talk for an hour on journalism. I think it's a great idea.
All right, we'll get it done before the end of the month, okay, sir?
Yeah, very good.
When we come back, we're going to rip the lid off of these bees and bull stories.
You're going to be shocked.
You're going to need the edge. The whole seat at the Green Valley News, but you're only going to need the edge. Wake up, Tucson, 10:30, The Voice. All right, we got Stevie Winwood's birthday today and Billy Swan's birthday today. Wake up Tucson with Matt Neely, Christy Simone. Callahan's almost there. He's almost there. He's not perfect yet, but he's almost there. I can see it. He's got a little more of color in his face. Before he looked bleach white. It was really scary. So welcome back, buddy.
It's good. Thanks. It's good to be here.
You're welcome.
It's a Philly Pirate.
Dan Shearer on the Green Valley News, Sarita Sun, WIC Communications. How many newspapers for WIC Communications right now?
Just under 30.
Look at you guys.
Yep. Growing.
Absolutely. Tell me about, let's go with the bees first. Let's go with the bees.
Well, got an email over the weekend from a woman who says she walked out into her garage and heard this awful humming sound, went into her front yard, and up there in her mesquite was ended up being about 30,000 bees. So it is bee season, and sometimes they're just flying through and they're resting in your tree for a couple of days and then they move on. I've had that happen to me, and others are coming and they're setting up shop. They're going to live there, and that's apparently what these were doing. So she called the bee guy, and we had a nice conversation with him about how to bee-proof your home and how to handle these things, and are they Africanized? And of course, the thought is that you should just treat everything as if it is, because they probably have a little bit of that in them. And in short, bees will leave you alone if you are leaving them alone, but if they feel threatened, you're in trouble. And so the best thing to do is just run and run and run and run and hopefully get inside if they are coming after you, but certainly not fun. I remember a couple of years ago we had a couple of people, one of them was a worker who just came across a huge hive, and both were stung to death. And so this can be really serious, particularly for animals. We had a huge 200-pound honeycomb pulled out of a house in my neighborhood a few years ago. So these things can be anywhere. And this story is just a good reminder. Again, you know, I don't care if you're in out in the middle of nowhere or if you're in a tightly packed subdivision, walk around your house every once in a while. If you see bees going in and out of the, under the rafters and stuff, call someone and have it checked out, because these things can grow to these monster hives in a very short amount of time. So this story explains how one hive will break out from the other and why they do that and where they go and what they're looking for and everything. It's really quite interesting. So
I remember a hotel project I was working at. I was sitting with the owners, and it looked over the front drive, and it had one of those fabulous porte-cochers over the front drive. And all of a sudden, as we're sitting there, you just see all of a sudden it was the arrival of the colony into the porte-cochere.
Yes.
And it was unbelievable. This giant mass of, you know, it could have been 10, 20,000 bees landing on your building and then disappearing into the hole where 80% of them disappeared with, I assume the Queen was in there and everything, right? And it was unbelievable. We're like, oh, that's not going to be good for business.
Well, and, you know, back in the 70s, that whole rash of movies, you know, man versus nature type of movies, and they had one, I don't know, it was called Swarm or something
Absolutely,
like that.
Absolutely, very good.
Yeah. Adrienne Barbeau, come on.
Man, she was hot. Can I say that? Okay, anyway.
I don't remember the movie. I just...
I don't remember anything else. But anyway. Yeah, there was frogs and alligators and rats and whatever. But
well,
anyway,
we had Shatner, Kingdom of the Spiders. I know what's going on.
I love these.
These spiders are huge.
Well, you know, when you're a young teen or whatever, they're awesome. But anyway, so that was playing on those fears of, those Africanized bees are coming up from South America, as I recall at that time. And they finally did reach us, and we've had some issues with them. But everyone has a bee story, and they're usually pretty exciting, but they're scary, too. So you just have to be careful.
I thought the murder hornets were coming from Asia. Remember that was the other thing in the middle? Remember in the middle of the whole Rona lockdowns? The murder hornets are coming across the ocean, and they're going to murder all of you.
If you want to take a swipe at the media, look at how that whole thing rolled out, because it shouldn't have rolled out quite as it did. The guy's like, really? I didn't mean that we're about to be overcome by murder hornets. I mean, they're out there. We found a couple of them here, but please, no need to hunker down just yet. So I think that one was mishandled, and I think by the Associated Press, if I'm not mistaken. So,
wow.
How embarrassing. It's rare, but it does happen that we're wrong. So, yeah, leave it.
Well, I see the Seattle Times. I was just saying a month ago, new rules aim to help Washington State fight murder hornets and protect us from them. It's good.
Yeah, we're going to talk about this during our hour on journalism, but why this stuff happens.
I got to think DB Cooper's holed up somewhere, you know, and then he gets done in by the murder. Like, I make it like 40, 50 years, and I get done in by the murder hornets.
Yeah. Yeah, clutching that cash he jumped off the plane with. Yeah, no doubt. Okay, so we talk about bulls.
Oh, please, let's get the bulls. Yes.
Bulls are far, far more interesting, and I went driving around looking for them yesterday. So every year, because of drought...
You don't have to go far to see bull in this community.
No, and you step in it, too.
Thank you.
Very easy. So every year, because of the droughts and whatever, we have wild horses and bulls come in, and they will eat the grass and then, you know, drink some water, and then after a month or so, they'll disappear. Well, the current lot has been here since at least August, and we're talking about, you go to your local park and you see these massive sides of beef there, and I mean a lot of them, and they've got huge muscles. Go on to our website, you'll see a picture right in one of our public parks, and these things are dangerous, and they have been hanging out for a long time. So this falls under the purview of the Department of Agriculture, and they have last fall they set up a pen, they tried to catch a bull, I think they got one, and sent him off to the auction house, and then the next one, I think, was tranquilized and ran off into the desert to sleep it off, and then the next one just kicked it down. And so they are coming back today, actually, to set up another pen. We have them on both sides of I-19, and these things are huge safety risks, and here's the reason. The wild horses are wild. They come out of the desert. No one knows who they belong to. They don't belong to anybody, really, but they look docile, and so people, without thinking, will take their 4-year-olds up and try to pet these things. Okay, not a good idea. They're wild. Well, I don't know that anybody's trying to pet the bulls, but the bulls have already chased people off. They've already chased people off the out of a couple of parks, and they are. Who knows what they could do? They got these big horns, and they're big. They're just awesome looking creatures. But it's come to the point where the police department's like, yeah, you know, if they exhibit a certain behavior, running across I-19 would be one of those behaviors, we might have to shoot them because they are just as huge public safety risk. So the Department of Ag is coming back in today, and hopefully they've got a stronger tranquilizer this time, and they can get these things, but they just roam around the community. I mean, you know, you can just walk outside and just see this bull walk walking by, and they're healthy looking things. Here's the odd thing. They have no brands on them, so nobody really knows who owns them. They've talked to the tribe. They've talked to local ranchers. They really are just...
I think they're here at Palo Verde and Ajo. They've made their way up to
I need Ken from the sausage shop to
Dan, I think if the Green Valley Culvers wants another visit from Mr. Culver, they could capitalize on this and they could get a second visit from him.
I said, look, let's just shoot them and then give it to the food bank. What's the big deal here? They're going to end up at the slaughterhouse anyway. Let's just kind of, and you know, that may end up happening. But here's the off-the-record thing that really wasn't off-the-record. I'm talking to State Representative Andrea D'Alessandro about this because she's getting calls from constituents. She represents our area, and she says, you know, Dan, here's the problem, is that the Department of Agriculture has 8 people who do this around the state, and they are just overwhelmed, because the Department of Ag, if you look at it, they handle a lot of different things. They do weights and measures, like at the gas stations. They're now going to be handling recreational marijuana, you know, looking at all of that. They, all the branding, all the animals that are out there running around, so they do a lot. She says, if you're the head of the Department of Agriculture, you do not, it's an appointed position by the governor, and if you whine to him that you do not have enough money and you need more inspectors, he's going to remove you from that position and find someone who will just do the job with what the governor has given him. Now, I don't know how much of that is true, because the head of the Department of Agriculture is Mark Killian, who has been in state government since Ducey was a teenager, and he has a long history here. I don't think if he asked for another inspector or two that he would be bounced out of the job. But it's very interesting what she says about these appointed positions. These are people who are put in there because the governor likes you. He knows that you're going to do what he wants to do, and you're not going to whine that much. I will say this, one of the few times I agree that a state agency is understaffed would be this, and we're seeing the effects of it right here in Sarita.
My 2 points here would be, one, I thought the recreational marijuana was going to create enough money for the hire more bureaucrats to manage that, okay?
We hope so, yeah.
And then number two, I can't believe it, Andrea D'Alessandro being overdramatic about something. I'm in shock. She's usually such a clear head. So,
time to go.
Oh, Dan, it was great talking to you. We'll see you for Journalism Talk before the end of the month.
Thanks, Dan.
Very good. Thank you.
The great Dan Shearer. Wake up, Tucson, 10:30 The Voice, local news and talk. I want to start off with a story from the Green Valley News when we come back about Sarita's budget request is up 59% year over year. Let's talk about money when we come back. Money, money, money.